The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
And I'm Ricky Sparrow, the founder, the pastor, the voice of End Time Headlines. And if this is your first time joining us, again, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. And before we get started on today's broadcast, as always, we want to let you guys know to download our free app. If you've not gotten it yet, please, it is available on Apple and Android. Don't forget to get your free app today. Again, it's absolutely free. Just get the app, get it into your hands so that you can keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our latest podcast that you can both watch or listen at your leisure. And again, if you're listening to this broadcast today, don't forget to go to the Apple Store, the Android Store, and just type in End Time Headlines, and you're going to see our official logo. Download that app, and you will be up to par with everything that we're doing on a continual basis, on a weekly basis. We are coming on here at least minimum 3 to 4 times a week. We've always got our headlines going out. We want you to keep up with what we're doing today. So we've got a lineup for you today. We're going to be talking about the latest oil prices. Crude oil is going through the roof. Crude oil is spiking at such unprecedented levels that we can't even keep up with it. No sooner than I report on it, and we write up a headline and we write up an article on it, it will be outdated because the price will go even higher than what it was when we published the article. That happened this morning. The cost of oil was over just shortly over $100 a barrel this morning. It was about $110 a barrel. And now it is even higher within 3 hours of us publishing that article. So we're going to talk about the crude oil prices, and we're going to talk about the ongoing war in Ukraine with Russia and how it is threatening the, quote, breadbasket and the world's breadbasket and the global food supply. So let's get after this today. I'm going to give you some of these headlines. First one here is in, this is from the Associated Press. Here's the headline, quote, Russian war in world's breadbasket threatens food supply. According to multiple reports, this one from the Associated Press, it is emphasizing that the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine is threatening, quote, the food supply and livelihoods of people across Europe, Africa, and Asia, who rely on the vast fertile farmlands of the Black Sea region known as the, quote, breadbasket of the world. According to the report, I'm going to read a little bit more of this, and then I'm going to give you some more reports.
Rising inflation has been squeezing American families for months at this point, but now the war in Ukraine is driving the price of wheat and corn products even higher. We take a look by the numbers. Known as the breadbasket of Europe, Ukraine provides 12% of the world's total wheat exports and was estimated to supply some 16% of the world's corn exports this year, according to the AP. Russia, for its part, is a key producer of fertilizer. Wheat prices have already jumped a staggering 37% so far in 2022, and corn prices have jumped 21%, and that's after prices rose more than 20% throughout 2021. Companies like Kellogg and General Mills have been passing their higher wheat and corn costs on to consumers, and there are signs of even more pain ahead. Wheat futures have hit a 14-year high, according to Bloomberg, and corn is now at a 9-year high as the war in Ukraine chokes off production and trade.
There was already strain on the food supply and the shortages from fertilizer, corn, and now you have wheat and you have barley. And that was already happening, but now it's going to another level. While there have not yet been global disruptions to wheat supplies, yet, I emphasize, yet prices have surged 55% since a week before the invasions. Before the invasion, just from the concerns about what could happen next. If the war is prolonged, experts warn that countries that rely on the affordable wheat exports from Ukraine could face shortages beginning this July, according to International Grains Council director that told the Associated Press. This could create food insecurity and throw more people into poverty, hello, aka famine, into poverty places like Egypt and Lebanon. Now, we've talked about, again, biblically, we know, prophetically speaking, it speaks of a time in the book of Revelation of coming famine and famines, plural tense, that will take place in the Middle East. So this is giving more credence to stepping stones or preludes leading to that. Ukraine is a, quote, major supplier of corn and the global leader in sunflower oil used in food processing. The war could reduce food supplies just when prices are at their highest level since 2011. Isn't that great? Isn't that just convenient? A prolonged conflict would have a large impact some 1,500 miles away in Egypt, which is the world's largest wheat importer. Millions who rely on subsidized bread made from Ukrainian grains to survive, with about a third of people living in poverty. Quote, wars mean shortages, and shortages mean price hikes. This was according to Ahmed Sela, however you pronounce that, a 47-year-old father of seven in Cairo, Egypt. Quote, any hikes will be catastrophic, not only for myself, but for the majority of the people. Now, I want to give you another, let me just talk a little bit more about this. I'm going to give you some more headlines here. Here's another one, quote, Ukraine-Russian war creating, quote, huge supply shock. And this comes from the World Bank president. And we'll talk more about that in just a second. Again, Ukraine and Russian war are creating a, quote, huge supply shock. And this was a warning that just went out from the World Bank president. Michael Snyder just did a piece late last night. We reported this morning. I want to read a little bit from his article where he cites different sources as well. One of these that we just talked about, quote, by the end of this year of 2022, we are going to witness very serious shortages of food in many parts of the globe. I said the globe. In fact, World Bank President, and that's what we just showed you there, David Malpass, is openly admitting that we are now facing what he says is a, quote, huge supply shock as a result of the war in Ukraine. Of course, we were already moving in the direction of a global food crisis even before the war even began. According to the United Nations, worldwide food prices in February of this year were 20.7% higher than they were in the previous year of 2021. Fertilizer prices have gone absolutely insane. Crop production is down all over the planet due to crazy weather patterns, supply chain problems, and caused by the pandemic. And it continues to create ongoing headaches for consumers and for suppliers. But now, what many are saying, World War III, which a lot are saying, already saying that we're in World War III. Now that this war has already erupted and is going to push this rapidly growing global food crisis into an even greater level that none of us have ever witnessed in our lifetimes. He went on to write, under normal conditions, Ukraine exports tremendous amounts of food and is considered to be one of the most important bread baskets on the entire planet. Now, we just covered a whole portion of that in our last segment we just talked about here. But everything has changed now. So, and then we have in Lebanon, the Lebanese normally get 60% of their wheat from Ukraine. But according, let me read this little excerpt from a report coming out of Lebanon. Quote, war-ravaged Syria recently announced it would cut spending and ration staples. And nearby Lebanon, where a massive explosion at the Beirut port in 2020 destroyed the country's main grain silos, authorities are scrambling to make up for a predicted wheat shortage. Did you hear that? So they're already predicting a wheat shortage. And so you have Egypt, you have Lebanon, you have Syria, you have Ukraine, you have Russia. So these are all places that are going to be impacted by this. Don't think it's not going to come to the shores of America. It already is. With Ukraine providing 60% of its supplies, they are now in talks with the U.S., India, and Canada, and they're scrambling for other sources for a country already in a financial meltdown. All right? Then you'll be stunned to learn that it is being projected that China's winter wheat crop could be the worst in history. Let me give you an excerpt from this. The condition of China's winter wheat crop could be, quote, the worst in history, according to the agricultural minister that even stated this past Saturday, raising concerns about grain supplies in China, which is, again, one of the world's largest wheat consumers. So all these nations are being hit simultaneously. The domino effect is happening, guys. The USDA is reporting that a whopping 71% of all winter wheat in the United States has been impacted by drought. Quote, a limited supply of soft white wheat, the primary type of wheat grown in the inland Northwest, has helped lead to a six-year low for what wheat exports from the United States are calling one of the worst they've seen. That's according to the USDA wheat report for the month of February. The report also indicates that 71% of U.S. winter wheat is being impacted by drought in 2022. Now, then we get to how's this going to impact us as consumers, as average consumers? Well, look at this headline. This was a headline that we shared recently. This is from Reuters. And it says, quote, $10 toothpaste, question mark, U.S. household goods makers face blowback on price hikes. Now, I want you to, the date of this article was March 1st of this year. So this has even changed since even the publication of this article. I want to read a little bit of this. Again, where is this hitting you and I? And I ain't even got to oil prices and gas prices yet. According to Colgate Palmolive CEO Noel Wallace, he is warning that we need to get ready for $10 tubes of toothpaste. He said last week in an industry conference that the household goods maker, again, this is Colgate Palmolive, this doesn't include other ones, sees its new Optic White Pro Series toothpaste as the type of premium product vital to its ability to raise prices, which will help drive profit growth this year. His remarks come when many consumer products companies are hiking prices as much as they can to offset their own rising cost. Again, the domino effect. This is what he calls a trend that could continue due to the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, whose economies risks include driving up gasoline prices. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. And retailers and consumers seem largely unfazed by the higher prices, but that's changing now. Let me read this quote. we're seeing significant price hikes on virtually every item consumers purchase. Again, this is from U.S. Representative David Cicilline, who is working on proposed antitrust legislation aimed at bringing down prices. Quote, they're imposing real hardships. People are taking things out of their grocery carts because it's too expensive. In the past, major retailers such as Walmart had pushed back on price hikes, but now retailers like Walmart and Target are mostly going along with them. So in the past, you could bypass certain retailers and certain food marts and certain grocery chains, and you could go to certain places like Walmart and you could find cheaper products, or you could find it at cheaper prices, but that's not the case anymore.
And the economic impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine could move beyond higher gas prices. Analysts warn that the cost of food in the U.S. could increase, citing Ukraine as one of the world's largest producers of wheat and some seed oils. So here to discuss all of this is Laura Riley. She's a reporter covering the business of food at The Washington Post. Laura, thanks for joining me. I was sort of surprised that wheat, the price of wheat, could be impacted, only because I thought this country produced an awful lot of wheat as well. What foods could this affect, and how much more could Americans be paying?
Well, you're absolutely right. We are net exporters of wheat, but the Ukraine is a huge exporter of wheat and corn, as well as sunflower oil, along with Russia. And the expectation is that those Ukrainian crops won't get planted this year and that the Russian crops will be embargoed. Mm. And so a lot of parts of the world will be in need of imports. And so there'll be a mad scramble for, you know, the excess, including our excess. So there may be more exports from the U.S., which will drive up domestic price. And, you know, we are already starting from a position of very high prices. We all know that from the grocery store. And so experts that I spoke with said, expect some of these hikes pretty much instantly because of the interconnectedness of some of these markets.
So, I mean, you gave us some numbers there. Just how much does the U.S., I guess, really, and the world depend on wheat and seed oil from this region?
Well, so the Ukraine and Russia account for about 29% of wheat exports and 75% of sunflower oil exports. Mm, and, you know, wow. You may think, well, what, I don't use a lot of sunflower oil, but all of the vegetable oils are very interconnected. And if one gets a little expensive, they all get expensive. And as we know, things like soybean oil in this country have skyrocketed in the past year, partly because of our pivot towards cleaner burning biofuels. And so that has, we already have soybean oil prices that are double what they were a year ago.
And food is playing a big role in this. Food inflation is surging. Look at the price of margarine, up 16.5% over where it was this time last year. Beef, 13% more expensive. Chicken, 7.9%. Fresh fruit, 8.2%. And bakery products up 7.4%. Quite a few reasons for this. The raw cost of the goods are up. There's labor shortages. There's weather issues. There's supply chain disruptions. Economists say Canadians are already looking for ways to buy more with less. We're seeing more people switch to discount stores. We're seeing people look for cheaper proteins as opposed to chicken and beef.
So again, in an interview with Reuters, Cicilline cited that Colgate as an example of a company that's touting price hikes, making basic items, too costly and paying out more to investors. Colgate expects its margins to widen this year due in part to higher prices. It also brought back almost 50% more shares last year, a boom for investors. Again, so this is something that this is nothing new. You already know this. You're already seeing it. You're witnessing it firsthand, guys, at your local grocery chains, your food marts, and wherever you're at. Now, I want to give you, another headline here. And this, I'm just showing you where all this is heading and where we're at. Quote, this is a headline. Russia's Ukraine invasion could be a, quote, global economic game changer. Let me read that again. Russia's Ukraine invasion could be a global economic game changer. Now, just keep in mind, the powers that be, the World Economic Forum has been touting and they have been warning about a great reset. And we thought the virus was going to cause the great reset, but it was, now we know, listen to me, that it was one of many pieces of the puzzle. It was one of many steps leading to where we're at and where we're going with this great reset. Now they're calling this war a economic game changer. The fallout from this, according to the Greenwich Time, is being called, or they're saying that, quote, this will take a meaningful bite out of the global economic recovery. In other words, what they're saying is the pandemic put a huge blow on the global economy. And as the global economy was treading water, trying to get its head above water, and it was about to come out of the water, and it was about to be freed from drowning, here comes a war with Ukraine that has now took another blow, and it now we're submerged back under the water again. The greatest impact in Europe is now being felt, economists say. A spike in oil prices to more than $110 per barrel, and that's already outdated, and renewed supply chain disruptions, including fresh headaches for the auto industry, by the way, and that's insane right now. We've talked about that in another podcast, so I don't want to rehash all that. But again, they're talking about the long-term consequences of the global economy. So let's shift gears. We're going to continue on the same vein, but kind of talk about, let's talk about the oil and the gas prices. Here's a headline, quote, oil tops $130 a barrel. Again, this is already outdated. This is from the Wall Street Journal. As Russians attacks escalate. But look at this, guys. Listen to me for a second. I want to give you, I forgot to put this up on the screen. I'll put it up on our final cut, but this is from Yahoo News. Actually, it's from Bloomberg, and it's being republished by Yahoo News. Here's the headline, quote, listen to me, clean out your ears, because this is going to hit you and your pocketbooks. Oil traders are predicting that prices will surpass $200 a barrel this month. Now, right now, as of 2:15 p.m. Eastern on March 7th, it's around 139, maybe a little more a barrel right now. And they're saying that traders are predicting by the end of this month that crude oil prices will surpass $200 a barrel.
You say, Bob, that we are 70% odds, Cold War II, continued sanctions, and crude marching higher, ending somewhere between here and 150. Here in 150 is a pretty wide thing, and it gives me very little comfort.
Well, it's an uncomfortable situation. Since the weekend, Tyler, we're really into cascading surprise escalations. And the biggest oil supply interruption since at least the Iranian attack on Abqaiq in 2019, and probably going back to the first Gulf War in 1990, 1991. So this is an authentic Class A oil emergency. And look, when we're in this kind of situation, there's only two things that can stop oil prices from rising at this point. First, the market has to become convinced there's no real threat to the almost 5 million barrels a day of Russian crude exports. And then the 2.5 million barrels a day of product exports. That's why we're up so high, is because the self-sanctioning by traders and shippers are just not touching the crude. And until they get certainty that those exports won't be sanctioned in some way, they're not touching it. And so the other way, unfortunately, is the way all oil booms end, with recessions and sort of savage demand destruction. It's not pleasant, but that's just the mathematical reality. So, you know, Rapidan, we model in a normal economy, we think around $150 WTI, you're at a level where consumers are going to start to give up. That's where you're causing a macroeconomic burden. But that's normality. This is not normal. We have war, we have inflation. And so somewhere between here and there, one of those two things is going to happen. I wish we had a crystal ball on that one. I'll call you as soon as I get it. But we don't know at this point.
So let me follow up with two questions. You say that that traders, importers of Russian product do not want to touch the stuff until they know what's going to happen. So, and I understand that. What then happens to that product? Does it just stay on the Russian side of the border? Does it not come out of the ground? What happens?
Well, it backs up, if prolonged, because the oil is flowing out of the fields through pipelines to ports and storage and then loading on boats or going through pipelines. And it's really the seaborne oil, about half Russia's oil, that's now blocked. If it doesn't get unblocked, it will back up. Inventories will fill up. Pipelines will fill up. And if that continues, they'll have to shut in oil at the wellhead. Mm-hmm. And it's that risk of a severe supply interruption is probably what motivated the IEA to announce a release yesterday of 60 million barrels.
So Russian seaborne oil is being blocked by whom and how? Where?
So it's being blocked in the Baltic Sea and the Black Sea. And to some degree in Asia, because boat owners simply don't want to take the risk of loading a Russian cargo for fear they could be sanctioned by that. Or even Chinese banks are starting to deny letters of credit to importers. So folks are saying, look, until I'm sure I don't face risk, I'm either going to charge a lot of money to take this. That's what they were doing last week. Mm-hmm. But now you're getting reports where they don't even want to touch it at any price. So a good amount, well over 50% of Russia's oil is sort of blocked for the time being until we get more certainty on the sanctions.
Now, what does that mean for us? Well, right now, in my neck of the woods in Georgia, I went out this morning and gas had risen 20 cents in 24 hours. Right now, it's $4.20 a gallon where I live in a lot of places. Now, about 3 weeks ago, I had a dream, and I shared this with a small inner group of individuals, and I didn't make this public because a lot of times when I share these things, I get a lot of backlash because people don't believe in dreams and all this stuff, and I just get sick of hearing about it. So I kind of share it with my own little inner circle. So many of them would vouch for what I'm telling you. But in the dream, I was riding around town, and I was seeing gas stations, and it was $6.50 and $7 a gallon. Now that was 3-4 weeks ago, and I remember we spawned a whole discussion about this and said, well, and at that time we wasn't in full-blown war, and we said if we go into actual war and this thing escalates, this could become a reality. Well, here we are, because if you go out to the West Coast, you go out to some places up north, and they are already hovering at $6 a gallon. So, guys, and just to give you a perspective, crude oil prices were half this or less when the stock market crashed in 2008. So you say, well, what does this really mean? Here's what it means. If things don't change quickly, guys, our economy, the global economy, cannot sustain itself if crude oil prices keep rising. Because listen, it's all the domino effect. It's the ripple effect. As oil prices go up, so will inflation. And when inflation goes up, so will food costs, so will consumer costs, so will everything else go up and up and up. You will get to the point where you will be earning a paycheck literally just to keep your head above water, to keep your lights on, your bills paid, gas in the tank to go to work so you can pay your bills. There won't be any extracurricular activities. There won't be any entertainment. There won't be any going out and having fun and going on vacation, because the average consumer, the average individual will not be able to do this.
The problem is, I have a trucker in the family. And the problem is, they can't afford to move the goods. They're not really getting any money, an increase for the gas that really is handling all of this. So these truckers, I mean, how are they going to, you think the supply chain is bad now. How are these truckers going to be able to do something if they can't afford the gas? Think about how much that gas is costing you. I'd love to hear from a trucker. You know, think of any medication that you take that is in a capsule, okay? Mm-hmm. Not a tablet, but a capsule. That capsule is made from petroleum products. Mm-hmm. Everything, people are not thinking about the natural gas.
We're just going to shut down the natural gas pipelines.
Oh, are we? You know what makes fertilizer? Natural gas. So natural gas, having a shortage of natural gas means you're not having the fertilizer that you always have. You can't make the fertilizer in the amounts that we need. So we're buying most of it already from Russia and China. You think that's going to go well? How much is it going to cost to get things from China if oil is $185 a barrel? How much? Right now in California, they are paying $6.95 for regular. How is that going to impact the people of California? I mean, you guys got to get out of there. You're so screwed. You know, they just passed this thing where you can't build any more single family housing, and they're rezoning things so you can have multifamily housing in these areas that were zoned forever for single family housing. You know, when you think about the zoning, you might want to think, if there are four people to a house or four families to a house instead of one family to a house, how many cars have to be parked on the street? How many cars are now going to be on that small little street just driving? Gee, are the schools prepared for four times as many children? Is there a food desert? Because there'll probably be one now, with four times as many people living in this area. Nobody is thinking about, you can't make one small change and expect everything to fall into place. All of this has been designed for reasons. And these Marxists are coming in here thinking, oh, well, we can just, it is, let's ban Russian oil. I'm all for it. If we open up our oil, and not our oil reserve, not our strategic oil reserve, start pumping it. Open up your pipeline. Start pumping the natural gas again. If we don't have natural gas, we don't have fertilizer. If we don't have fertilizer, we get half the food that we need just to fill our own tables with food.
So again, our economy can only take so much. And you're listening today and you're saying, wow, Brother Ricky, this is like just, gloom and doom and despair and bad news. And I was hoping you'd give us some good news. And I'd hoping you would give us some word of encouragement. Well, I'm not going to leave you hanging there. To all the believers that are listening, first of all, we knew this is going to happen. Listen, if you're not prepared, or if you've not been prepared by now, then you won't be prepared. Remember, we have been talking about this for years. When Joseph, when it was revealed to Joseph, the 7 years of good and 7 years of famine was coming to the land of Egypt in his day, biblically, what did Joseph do? Joseph warned the nation to prepare accordingly. He told them to stock up. He told them to prepare. He told them to be ready. And by the way, people are doing this now when it's too late. I saw multiple reports this morning from friends of mine on Facebook, and they were saying that they were at gas stations and they were seeing people hoarding gasoline. They had their gas tanks, their little portable gas tanks, and they were filling them up with gas and filling them up. And they were, some of the clerks were running them off. They were closing down tanks because people are panicking. People are the distress, the anxiety, the fear, the worries. How am I going to get to work? I better get gas. Listen, you know it's bad when you're running to the gas station to get a full tank of gas and tankers of gas on $4.20 a gallon because you're afraid it's going to go to $5 and $6 and $7 a gallon. And people are doing this with you go to grocery stores, you can't find pasta in places. You can't find canned goods in places. You can't find water again in some places. Why? Because people are panicking and people are literally waiting until the last minute to do things that they should have been doing 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago. Remember, go back to the book of Genesis. God gave Joseph the warning 7 years before it ever took place. God ain't going to wait till the last minute. He's not going to tell you today to stock up because tomorrow, come on, stuff is going to hit the fan. No, he's going to give you adequate amounts of time to do what you need to do. Why? Because God is merciful. God is loving. And God is looking after his children. But if, just in case you're watching today and you say, I wish I would have listened, I wish I'd have been more prepared, and I'm not prepared, I still got good news for you today. And that is, God's promises are yes and amen. And to those that believe, let me say that again for the back row that's listening today. God's promises are yes and amen. And to those that believe. So today, when I was putting together this podcast, I found five powerful passages of scripture on how God promises to take care of those who are in covenant with him, those that are born again, those that have a relationship with him, those that are faithful tithers and givers and made a covenant with him in their finances. So I'm going to put this up on your screen for you guys that are watching, for you guys that are listening. I'll read the scriptures to you and you can take notes. You can write this down and you can have this in your pocket so that you can pray over this and you can memorize these scriptures. Why? Because you're going to need them. Just listen, when you're sick, you need healing scriptures when you're in the middle of a battle of infirmity. Come on. When you're being attacked in your family, you go find every scripture on how the Lord wants to preserve your family, and no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. And what God has joined together, let no man nor devil in hell separate nor divide. You find the scriptures and the promises in accordance to what you're going through. Come on, I'm walking this out right now as we speak, not just in this level, but even in an infirmity I've been dealing with for 4 weeks. I'm declaring the word of God over my body and speaking the word of God. So here it is. If you're listening, you're watching, listen what the word of the Lord says. Psalms chapter 34, verses 9 and 10. Oh, fear the Lord, all you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The psalmist said, the young lions lack and they suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come on, hallelujah. I said, those who seek the Lord and fear the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The psalmist said by revelation of God that lions could suffer hunger, but the saints of God will not be in want. Then you go to Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Listen to this. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. What's he talking about here? He's talking about making a covenant with God with your finances. Come on. It's not up here, but it goes with Matthew chapter 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But let me read this, Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In other words, when you honor the Lord and you make a covenant with him, he will, come on, he'll keep you in abundance and overflow. Why? So you can hoard up to yourself? No, so that you can be a blessing to others. So that you can be a hand, a blessing to them. You can be a provider to them. Psalms chapter 37, 18 and 21. Psalms 37, 18 through 21. The Lord knows the days of the upright. Come on, we ought to shout right there. He knows our days. And their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. How many believes that we're in an evil time? Listen to this. And in the days of famine, the days of what? Famine. They shall be satisfied. Come on, somebody. You need to get excited with me today. I said the saints shall be satisfied in the days of famine. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous will show mercy and they will give. And I'm going to expand a little bit more on some of this stuff in just a second, but I'm going to go through these so I can give them to you. Psalms 37, 25, and 26. Listen what the psalmist said by revelation and experience of the Lord, walking with the Lord all those years. I have been young and now I'm old. In other words, he went through his whole life. And he's about to tell you something that he has observed firsthand walking with God. Here it is. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. And he says that the Lord is ever merciful. He lends and his descendants are blessed. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And then Philippians 4:19, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, and it was about giving and receiving. Well, I don't think the Bible talks about giving and receiving. Wrong. Read Philippians chapter 4. It absolutely does. And the Apostle Paul talks about the blessing that would come upon the church of Philippi because they understood the revelation of giving and receiving. And Paul tells them in Philippians 4:19, he tells them, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Listen to me, guys. God, listen, the Bible says that the Lord possesses the cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver and gold is his. The earth and the fullness thereof is his. The Bible calls God Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. He is the Lord your provider. Is there anybody that's listening today and watching today and you have a covenant with him today? Come on, you have a covenant with him. If you do, then you should not be fretting. You should not worry. Concerned? Sure. We should be concerned because this is concerning days. But I refuse to worry about something that is out of my control. God is still on the throne. I'm still in covenant with him. I'm still honoring him with my tithes. I'm still honoring him with my offerings. I'm still, come on, I'm sowing, I'm reaping, I'm honoring the poor, the widow, the orphans, the needy, the missionaries. I'm doing what God has told me to do, and I'm remaining in covenant with him and according to his word and according to his promises that he is, listen, first of all, he cannot lie. And he has never failed. And his promises are yes and amen to the, I said, to those that believe. If you don't believe what I'm telling you today, then you will not receive. But if you believe it today, I'm telling you, God will come through in a supernatural way. So if you're watching this today and you're listening today, I want to give you some hope. I want to give you some encouragement. And if you're sitting around scratching your head and you're worried, biting your nails, and you're like, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to pay this kind of gas money? How am I going to get back and forth to work? Listen, just keep praying, keep believing, keep sowing into the kingdom of God. Keep doing what God's called, told you to do. And don't grow weary, because in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Listen, I could sit here all day and tell you personal testimonies of when my wife and I first gave our heart to the Lord over 20 years ago. And we were on the very bottom. We didn't have high pain. We weren't making much money. We could barely keep our head out of water. We were living check by check, paycheck by paycheck. And God revealed to us a covenant that we would make with him. When we entered into a covenant with him, listen, every single time, every increase that we would get, we would honor the Lord with our tithe. Then now some of y'all say, oh, here he goes again, talking about money. That's all them preachers talk about is money. Listen, and that attitude is why you will probably be struggling. Because listen, I don't know who you're talking to, but I am not one of those preachers. You guys that know me well, listen, if you're new to the broadcast, we're not trying to shake you down for money. If you've got a home church and you're part of that church and you're serving that church and you're plugged into that church, you serve that church and you honor that church with your income, with the tithe, and bless that church and honor that church and do the work of God's kingdom in your community and in your location, your proximity. We ain't shaking you down for money. Because here's the bottom line, guys. This has to come from a personal revelation of God. Nobody twisted our arm. Nobody forced us to tithe 20-some-odd years ago. This came from deep study. I did an in-depth study on the subject of making a covenant with God in my finances. I'm talking hours and hours and hours. And I found out, and through that study, I discovered why the psalmist made the statements that he made when he said, I was young and now I am old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg of bread. I totally understand it, because God has been faithful through the ups, through the downs, through the good, through the bad, through the darkness, through the light, through the seasons of plenty and the seasons of lack. We, listen, have never gone with that. Just when we thought we were not going to get to the next whatever, God came through supernatural. I'm talking about when even 20 years ago, there was times when we had nothing in our refrigerator, nothing in our cabinets, and somebody would show up at the door. This was before phones. This was before Facebook. So this was before a PayPal accounts and GoFundMe pages, and we didn't put anything out there so people would know that we didn't have any food and let the world know that we were lacking in food or that we were short on income or whatever. We didn't do. We went into our prayer closet, Matthew 6, and prayed in secret. And the Father who heard in secret rewarded us openly, because we had people showing up at our door and with boxes of food. And we said, what are you doing here? And they said, we were praying this morning and the Lord spoke to us and said to bring you some extra food. And we would break down in tears. And through that process, friend, we learned to trust and lean on God as our source, as our provider. Listen, the government's not your source. The stock market is not your source. Wall Street is not your source. Your employer is not your source. It is simply a conduit in which God is using to bless you with. Oh, I can't get no help up in here. And there's probably a remnant that's getting it today. But a lot of carnal Christians that are shallow won't receive this today. But I'm telling you, God, my Bible says that God will bless his people to make you the head and not to tell, and above and not beneath, to make you to lend and not borrow. He'll bless you coming in and bless you going out. Come on, and everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread upon, you shall be blessed. So begin, come on, I know God is stretching our faith today. Listen, I am not going to preach anything to you that I have not walked out and am walking out right now. And what's interesting is I've discovered this. Many times, what we begin to preach about and what we have a revelation about is what we end up getting tested in. So if I start preaching on healing and start testifying of God's goodness and how he wants to heal you today, I'll get hit with an infirmity and I'll have to walk it out and I'll have to pray it out and I'll have to contend for the very thing that I am preaching to you guys about. Come on, can I get a witness from preachers today and evangelists today and pastors today that are watching and listening to me today? He's making you examples today to your flock. Why? To build up their faith and let them know that God is Jehovah Jireh. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord. Hallelujah today. So listen, I want to pray for you today. Before we do that, before we pray, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Listen, we are not ignorant. We're not naive. We're not sweeping things under the rug. Yes, we're in trying times. Yes, we're in difficult times. Yes, things are getting dark. But I'm telling you, we were created to become brighter in darker environments. Let me say that again. The darker the environment, the brighter that we should become. Because there's people that are hopeless. There's people that are looking for hope. They're looking for answers. They're going to be looking for you, and they're going to be looking for me, because we are the only Jesus that many of them will ever see. So listen, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That is our main website. That's where you can find us. That's where you can subscribe to our main website. Again, get the app. It's free. If you're watching this by Rumble, YouTube, or Facebook Live, under the description of this video right there, you'll see it under the description. It says download our free app. Just simply click on the link and get our free app today so you can keep up with all of our messages and our podcasts and our headlines. Listen. If you have been blessed by this ministry on a continual basis, a weekly basis, if you want to be a blessing to this ministry because it's been a blessing to you, again, we're not shaking you down here. I believe people are going to sow into, give into, support into, and partner with ministries that they're being fed by, equipped by, encouraged by. And I believe our ministry is a great blessing to many individuals. And if you're one of those individuals, pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order. If you give electronically, do it through the app. It's easy, right there on the bottom, or give through the main website. If you wish to give by check or money order, it's right there on the screen. If you're watching visually, if you're listening, it's End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, we appreciate you hopping on here to the broadcast and listening today. Before we sign out, let's pray real quick. And we're going to sign off for today. And then we'll be back on here tomorrow. And then we'll take a break on Wednesday. And we'll be back on probably on Thursday or Friday or Thursday and Friday, depending on what all goes on this week. So Father, in the name of Jesus today, Lord, I pray for everyone listening today, everyone watching today, or both. I pray, Lord, that First of all, if they don't have a covenant with you, they don't have a relationship with you, I pray that today they would repent of their sins, they would get right with you, that they would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior so that they can become a recipient of the inheritance, both here on earth and in heaven. Lord, I thank you, according to your word, that we are called sons of God, sons and daughters of the Most High. And you said in Matthew 6:33 that if we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, then all these things are necessities. These things are the essentials that we need. Food in our stomach, clothes on our back, gas in our cars. Essentials, bills to be paid, a place to live, all these things will be supplied. You said in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all of our need according to your riches and glory, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that, Father, your kingdom is not in jeopardy. It is not in recession. It's not in a depression. It's not in inflation. Lord, you have an everlasting supply chain that you provide for your people. And Lord, I agree with the psalmist today. I was young and now I'm older, and I have yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg of bread. God, I have seen people lose their jobs only to get better jobs. I have seen people have things that didn't happen or didn't work out for them. They didn't get the house that they were praying about and believing God for, or the vehicle, or they didn't get into the college they were looking for. They didn't get the job they were looking for, only because you had something better in store for them and they didn't know it until later on. And they looked back and they said, that's why the door was shut. That's why they passed me up. That's why they didn't call me in for the interview. That's why the house didn't close, because it had issues in the foundation. It had a crack, it had this, it had that, and we never knew it. But the Lord did know it. Come on, I'm telling you, he is working all things together for the good of those who love him and that are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that today? I pray today the blessing of the Lord upon everyone listening today. I declare, I come into agreement with the word of God today that declares you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are blessed coming in and blessed coming out. You are blessed in the city and in the field and in the country. And I declare that all the blessings of the Lord shall come upon you and overtake you in the name of the Lord. I declare that people shall look upon your life and your circumstances and said, if it had not been for the Lord, they would have never made it through what they made it through. And there has to be a God that is looking over them. And when they come to you and they question you and they prompt you and they ask you, how did you get through this? You will open your mouth and you will testify of Jehovah Jireh, your provider. You will lead them to the Lord. You will lead them into a covenant with your God. And you will begin to show them these principles today that I'm speaking of today. And as they step out in faith and begin to apply these principles, they will see the windows of heaven open over them, according to Malachi 3, and the Lord pour out blessings upon them that they have not room enough to receive. And I declare to you that the Lord himself is rebuking the devourer off of you for his name's sake. Come on, do you receive that today? Give the Lord a hand clap today. Give the Lord a hallelujah and amen, a praise God today in Jesus' name. And listen, let me close with this today. I want to say this personally from my house to your house. I want to thank every one of you guys that are continually praying for me. You guys who know I have been believing and praying God for my right ear to completely open. Listen, there in the natural, there's fluid behind my eardrum. I got COVID back in November, got hit with that, got over that, my ears open. And then less than 2 months later, got hit with another head cold, and bam, we're back with fluid again behind the eardrum. Listen, I'm believing that there will not have to be any surgeries, no operations, no tubes, no incisions, no draining. I'm believing that God is drying up the fluid in my ear, and my ear is popping, it's cracking, it's opening, and it will be its fullness in Jesus' name. It will be back to normal. And I want you to agree with me. And I know many of you guys have been praying that, believing that with me, because listen, I'm going to continue to contend for my healing in Jesus' name, for the glory of God. Why? Because the Bible says he delights in his children. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And I believe that. And it's not just for me, guys. It's for you as well. So again, thank you from my house to your house. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your partnership and your friendship. You guys, we consider you family here. You are family to us. And I know that I'm family to many of you guys, and we greatly appreciate that. So listen, we're going to sign off for today. We love you guys. God bless you. We will sign off for today, but we will see you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.